South Wales website and make sure you are aware of some of those track work changes.
Yeah, certainly just give yourself a bit of extra time there with that track work going on. As you mentioned, gates open at 10:45. Sydney Markets Lord Mayor's Cup Day. Brett, we'll talk to you in a couple of hours.
Thanks, Andrew. Good luck to all the punters.
Brett Devine there from the Australian Turf Club.
Racing HQ is brought to you by TAB. Bet you love a $185,000 projected Big Six pool at Rosehill Gardens today. See tab.com.au for details. Gamble responsibly. Sky Sports Radio now presents Racing HQ, setting up your racing day with race news, interviews, track reports, previews and TAB markets.
Yes, good morning for those that are tuning in at 7 o'clock. Good morning to you. Welcome to Racing HQ Saturday. We're primed for Lord Mayor's Cup Day at Rosehill, but we're also going to enjoy first-class Group 1 racing out of Morfordville. Two Group 1s with the Schweppes Oaks and the Robert Sangster for the fillies and mares. And at the Gold Coast, we're watching the weather there. Just a few scuddy showers have gone through this morning. A couple of mil of rain. It's still a good four, but we just want those showers to go away. Running through them, Rosehill, it's a good four, penetrometer 4.68, and a beautiful day, 25 degrees to be at Rosehill today. Newcastle, it's a soft five, the rail at 5.5. A New South Wales TAB meeting at Mudgee today, a good three, the weather fine out there. As I say, at the Gold Coast, 2 millimetres of rain during track work. The cloudy conditions meant to hang around for the day. The track a good four with a peno of 4.5. Flemington, they're meant to get some showers from around 11 o'clock. They've still marked it a good four. We'll just monitor that late morning into the early afternoon there. And Morfordville, the track has improved to a good four this morning, a penetrometer of 5.42 for their two Group 1 races. What a day of racing we've got ahead. To help us as normal, Ron Duffacy on Racing HQ. Morning to you, Ron.
Yeah, good morning, Andrew. Looking forward to today. I don't think it's a bad meeting. We may have 23 scratchings, but I think there's a little bit of depth to these races, and obviously we're back on firmer footing as well. So could be a little bit tricky, but all in all, it's quite a good program.
Yeah, Tony Brazel was on 15 minutes ago and he's mentioned Godolphin there a couple of times with horses. Bonnie O'Reilly coming back in the last race, and saw Formline the other day. I was sitting in the hotel room there at Wagga Duff, and Happy Hanny, you're sticking solid at this stage, mate.
Yeah, look, I'm sort of blaming myself for tipping her through wet tracks. I have to give her another chance on a dry track today, but that's a very competitive race, which probably lacks a bit of speed. So she's got a few little obstacles against her again, but I just want to give her one more chance on the dry.
We'll discuss that right through the morning. Plenty of interest in the meeting, obviously, today. The likes of Joe Pride, Rachel King, Charlie Duckworth from the Waller Stable and Jack Bruce from the Bjorn Baker Stable are going to be joining us. Hey, Duff, you and I think, are the only ones that aren't in America for the Kentucky Derby.
It's unbelievable. There must be a junket on somewhere. And look, everyone's over there. When is it? Early Sunday morning, about half past eight. We'll be tuning in. There's a bit of an Australian influence with one of the horses there. So looking forward to the Kentucky Derby.
We're going to talk to Henry Plumtree a little while later in this hour from Godolphin late yesterday afternoon, early evening. An official announcement that Darren Beedman had been granted a trainer's licence. He's an interim trainer for Godolphin, officially starting tomorrow. As I say, we'll talk to Henry to get a bit more on that in this hour. But let's go out to Randwick. John Thompson's joining us. John, why aren't you at the Kentucky Derby?
I got work to do.
Everyone seems to be there, mate. It's always something interesting to watch. But just before Duff talks about today, I spoke to you yesterday via text with Naita. Jockey change there at Scone next week, but how's she doing?
Yeah, it's super. Worked well this morning. Unfortunately, Blake got suspended, but Huey Bowman takes over the reins, so not losing much there, and she's going very well.
Yeah, just that progression off the first up run, I guess, is what you need for next week's Hortensia.
She's visibly come on. She looks great, and she's still bright as a button. So, yeah, pretty happy.
John, signposted resumes in race five today. He's is he sharp enough for this distance today?
I don't think so. I think he wants us a bit further. But in saying that, I think he's going better into this prep than he was into his last. So, yeah, He is going very well.
Okay. Tactically, we know he's a go-forward horse when he gets to that mile. What about a race like today?
No, I'd say they'd be too sharp for him today. He'll get back a bit, but he'll be hitting the line.
Okay. Dreamforce, obviously, he needs a few breaks from the draw here.
I think that's his danger. Be quietly confident if he's drawn a good gate back on the dry. Going very well, but just the barrier, that's the issue. You know, he'll come out and go forward, but I guess it's how much petrol he uses to get across.
Yeah, exactly. You got a couple of runners in the staying race, Astronomus, back to the dry today, but going well?
It's going well. You know, obviously pulled up a little bit of an issue there after his last run, but, you know, his work into this run's been good, and he's drawn well, and, yeah, he'll run his normal, you know, consistent race again.
And last time we spoke to you, you said Danger's going good, but he's not ready yet. Is he? Can he improve today?
Yeah, he'll improve definitely today. I do think he's just a genuine, you know, 2,400 metre horse, so I would look for him third up after today, but he is going well.
What about these couple at the Gold Coast, Blinka Cara? She looks at an improving staying filly.
Yeah, she's nice staying filly. Back on the dry at Newcastle, she went very well. Gets another dry track today, but obviously up in grade. It's just a matter of how she measures up. If she runs well today, well, she'll go on to the Oaks. If not, she'll go for a spell.
Okay, that was race four. And in race seven, you got obviously Morris. He's a pretty good first up. Little query at weight for age, but he seems to have come back well.
He's come back well. He's working very well. He works like a good horse. If he takes that to the races, he'll run very well. He's a very nice horse. You know, I just want to see him, you know, get back into the winner's stall. His Melbourne form was pretty average, so, you know, you just want to see him do it before you have real confidence. But on his work, it's pretty encouraging.
Okay. What's your, other than today, what is your main aims with a horse like him?
He'll go to the Doom and Cup after today.
Okay, so high aims. Good luck with him today.
Thank you.
Thanks, John. John Thompson out there at Randwick going through runners. Ron, how do you see the Lord Mayor's with his two runners particularly? Dan Zhu looks like he's going to be peaking third up at Astronomus today.
Yeah, well, Astronomus has got a... We've probably noted him as a wet tracker, but he did... I think he had a little issue pulling up with the thumps or something last time, or a poor post-race recovery. Yeah, look, he's right in a race like that. There's three or four chances there. It's a bit tricky, so... now that you've probably got horses like Top of My List rolling forward, and we've lost like Sons of John and New Tipperary and Hunter Jack, the only go forward horses there, so it could be a little bit tricky, and we might be working with a good three by that stage, so it might be a little bit harder to make ground when they're sprinting home in time. So
yeah,
I think we'll get more of a feel for this race once we get on track and have a few races.
I know it's a double-figure odds, Jesse Bell, but talking with the stable Hayes and Dabernick during the week, the horses backed up in the past successfully. They were really keen to back up after the run of Hawkesbury.
Okay, well, that's interesting. You know, she's very capable, but she just needs to find some of that old form. And last time she won was at the end of last prep was the Matriarch, and if you put that replay up, you'll see Happy Hannah in that race as well, which she should have won. So there's their form sort of intertwines a little bit there.
Understand. The only early officially this morning is McPhee Lass. That's race three, number 15. All the other scratchings that are in your papers this morning are, that's the only extra, McPhee Lass, race three, number 15. Joe Pride's online now on Racing HQ Saturday. Morning to you, Joe.
Good morning.
How's the team heading into today, mate?
Yeah, good. And I'm pleased. So got a good strong hand at Roseville. So.
What are you doing with Paint? Are you going to run him or pull him out?
No, he'll be scratched.
Okay. Now this. We'll start on Adelaide. I am as a lady. She's a bit of a funny mare, but very, very talented when she's on song.
Sure, she's quirky, isn't she? And she has her off days. It's sort of taking her opportunity to run in a good race. If she strikes one of those, you know, good form, she'll be very competitive.
Okay, and everything's ticked off. She's got over there okay.
She's great, yeah, she's travelled down well. I'm going to head down there today, and if she's got that sort of attitude where she's really aggressive, I'm sure she'll run very well.
Okay, a couple of runners in Sydney, Joe, and race three, Katoe. Looks an improver, a little bit of a gear change, a few little gear changes today.
Yeah, quite like this horse. The earmuffs are just sort of about getting in to settle a little bit. They'll be taken off after the parade, just because it's a little bit hot in the enclosure. But I think the blinkers will be a real positive for him. And nice progressive horse, and I think when these horses come back from the sort of racing the tough sort of midweek sort of grade, they can come back into their own age group and be very competitive.
Okay, and New Tipperary, he's finally gets a dry track in the Lord Mayor's Cup. And just a little speed query again in this race.
Yeah, he's been played by Wet Sacks and Rammick. I'm sure he's best formed away from there. He's always raced well at Roseville, and the dry track's a bonus 2,000, spot on. He'll race up there somewhere in what looks to be moderate sort of pace in the race. But he's in great order, and looking forward to seeing him back on top of the ground.
Okay, and Butterbeam resumes in the last as she returned.
Yeah, she's good. Look, she's a mare who, you know, we see generally needs to run. She did win first up one preparation, but I got three trials into her that day, so I'd expect she'd need to run. She's a good competitive mare. You look at her record, I think she's 18 of a start. She's been in the first four, so she's really competitive mare, and I'm sure she'll be like that today. So.
Okay, Andrew.
And Joe, with I Am the Lady, you had the option of the Gold Coast. What brought the swing to the Sangster?
Oh, look, it's obviously a much richer race, but you also got some connections that live down in Adelaide, so they'd love to see her racing in their own backyard. And, you know, as I say, she's a very competitive mare, so I'm sure if she runs up to her best, she can go really well.
The Callow influence could be important there.
Yeah, aggressive sort of rider, very strong, and that's the sort of rider she needs on the back. So.
Yep. All right, safe travels down there. Hope they all run well for you.
Great. Thanks very much, Scott.
Thanks, Joe. Joe Pride going through the runners. The Sangster down there, Ron, you've looked at it, obviously, watching Formline the other night, that it's a really strong race this year.
It's an incredible race, from top to toe. You know, I don't know what to think of it as far as, you know, having a bet or having a selection in the race, Andrew. It's just a deep, deep race. I thought one of the better races I'd seen in Adelaide for a long time. Obviously, you got English. Back to a right distance and finds a dry track, but she's had a few hard runs here over the autumn, and Shidell's a beauty, and, you know, Egyptian Symbol's going to be lethal fresh there, and I think Rav is my horse to follow throughout the winter. Whether she's up to a race like this, I don't know, but don't be surprised if she does. We just spoke to Joe. We know she can upset on a day. I Am the Lady, and then, you know, you got I Am a Star, who's a beauty, and, you know, then, you know, you could go through every horse here and say, you know, they're up to Group 1 class.
For sure. Vidora got a gun ride the other week too. It's right in the race. Lloyd Kennewell chasing his first Group 1 today. We wish everyone the best down there. It's a really strong race, as is the Oaks. And as I told you, Morfordville has come up and improving good for this morning. Well, what a day it was yesterday, Ron. The Wagga Cup, they've had a terrific couple of days there. These country clubs, as we know, they put a lot of energy into it. And yesterday, the crowd was enormous, and they yelled and screamed when a young girl called Rachel King jumped aboard Stampede, kicked around the Ben Ron, gave us something to scream at, and held on bravely. And Rachel, the winning jockey, is online. Congratulations to you, Rachel.
Thank you very much. Great day.
What a thrill.
Yeah, it was a big thrill. Yeah. Well, first stakes winner, and obviously to do it for Gay and Adrian made it even better.
What did we knew, and we know with Gay's horses that they like to get out in front, but the adrenaline would have been pumping around the bend when you got the break. I heard you with Johnny Scorse after the race basically saying that I could hear him coming, but Stampede wasn't going to give in.
Yeah, I could hear them coming, but it's the way he accelerated probably from sort of the 600, I thought they're going to have to be very tough, you know, to run him down. And obviously, being trained by Gay and Adrian, he's got that toughness built into him. And look, he could hear them coming. Like, he was getting probably a bit tired on the post, which was he was entitled to. He did a lot of work. But, look, he is a very tough horse, and he wasn't going to give in without a fight.
And Rachel, just give us a little bit of your background. People want to know a bit more about Rachel King.
I came to Australia about 3 years ago now. I actually originally came just for sort of a couple of months from England just to learn a bit more and have a bit of a break from the English winter. And then I just from watching the racing, I realised there's probably a lot more opportunities over here for girls. In Europe, they're still just sort of not really broken through yet. They're getting there, and there's a few good girl apprentices there now, but it's just not as many opportunities. And I found the trainers and owners here are very supportive of the females and very keen to sort of put you on. So I thought, well, I may as well come back and give it a go. And I spoke to Gay and, you know, made sort of arrangements that I was keen to come back, and came back and, yeah, started working for them. And I actually, first probably 18 months when I first came, I just wrote track work mainly just for Gay, and just kind of got used to everything and learned a bit, took it all in. I did a bit of travelling for her, and then, yeah, got my apprentice licence out, and I've been race riding over here for about 18 months.
What's the work difference in the workload from Europe to Australia? Like, we ride work in the morning, we got races every day. It's a pretty hectic schedule. We've got barrier trials. That'd be a different situation to Europe, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it's very different. It takes a lot of getting used to. Like, there's a lot of travelling as well. That's a big thing that's very different. You know, in England, like, if it's an hour away, you class that as actually being quite far, whereas here that's local. You know, it's very different. It takes a bit of getting used to, I said, but I think I've slotted in quite well, and like, I enjoy it. I don't mind the work. Obviously, it's early mornings and things, and it's very busy, but I like to be racing every day. I don't mind that.
Okay. Have you ever had rate rides on a Saturday meeting in town?
No, I've never ridden in town on a Saturday at all. This is my first Saturday.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, this is first one. So we've just sort of been holding back a bit. Like, I've been going to town on a Wednesday and sort of Friday nights and things for a couple of months now. But Gay was just keen, just take it steady and just sort of work my way into it. But obviously, with quite a few jockeys being away today, it was a good Saturday to pick. And yeah, that shows by managing to pick up eight rides.
Yeah, geez, not a bad day to start after a Wagga Cup win where you couldn't use your claim, and here you are, bang, here we are, I've arrived.
Yeah, definitely. No, it's worked out very well.
You wouldn't know a lot about these horses, but you would have had a look at their form. Ipso Facto showed good ability last preparation in race one.
Yeah, look, he's obviously he's shown a bit last preparation. His trials have been good, so hopefully he can progress a bit.
Yeah, crisscross stitch in race three. Chris Waller, wouldn't have had many rides for him.
No, it's my first ride for the Chris Waller camp, so that's very exciting as well. It's obviously a big milestone, managing to ride for Chris.
Kawakini, did you see her run last start? She looked a bit unlucky.
Yeah, she was very unlucky, I think, last start. Like, she was very consistent before that. That's probably two or three runs before that were, you know, very consistent places. And I think she'll be right there again today.
Okay. Can you get down to the 51 kilos?
Oh, yes. Yeah, very easily, yeah.
No problem? Okay.
No problems on that front.
Careless in race five. Looks a nice race for him.
Yeah, it does look a really nice race for him. I know Mark's quite keen on him, and I think he should run a really big race today. He's got good form around the track as well.
Okay. Speed Hero from an informed stable, race six. Awkward draw to overcome here, though.
Yeah, look, that's probably sort of his main problem, really, is that draw. Look, he's, like you said, he's in good form, but I think he'll get back a bit in this race. So hopefully, if we can just find a bit of luck up the straight, he should be running on strong at the end.
You know, this horse, slow pace, you actually got him home last start. I don't know how, but you got him home.
Yeah, look, he's an old horse, and sort of when he wants to, he bobs up and wins. But he was in very good form last start, and that form was ranked yesterday by, you know, my horse winning the Wagga Cup and the horse in second. He beat both of those last starts. So hopefully, if he comes to the races in the same sort of form he did on Anzac Day, then, you know, he'll give a bit of a show.
Knit and Pearl, I thought, had a good chance if she reproduces that last start performance.
Yeah, definitely. Look, I'm quite keen on her today. I think she could run, like you said, run a big race if she can just get back in that sort of vein of form that she was in.
And you finish with Magic of Dreams, who's been freshened up, but I think she's going okay.
Yeah, she's one of those that sort of everything's got to go her own way, but if it does, then, you know, she's a very solid chance, definitely. She's quite consistent when it goes her way.
Beautiful. We've got to give you a plug. Your manager, who's got you all the rides today?
Sean Farrity. He's very good. I've been with him for, probably majority of the time I've been riding in Australia, probably about a year now, and I've had my best season ever, and he works very hard, but he's a very good manager.
Well, I reckon it would have been a great morning. What time did you get home from Wagga?
We flew back, so it wasn't too bad. I think we landed around just before 8 o'clock, so it wasn't too late.
And straight into track work this morning?
Yeah, that was it. I literally just finished track work about 10 minutes. so pretty busy.
Well, you got a few hours rest. Good luck today. First riding Saturday in town, following up on your Wagga success yesterday. Hope it flows through to today.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
Good on you, Rachel. Rachel King joining us there. Gee, a day of first run, it could, well, it is. First Saturday for Rachel in the town and the first ride for Chris Waller.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah, no, it's how things fall. You know, she wins a... that's a pretty big race, as you'd understand it. The Wagga Cup's a big race to win, and she had no claim, and Gay's put her on there, and she's let her ride in town for the Saturday for the first time, which shocked me. I thought she may have been in town before, but let's hope... Look, she's light. That horse has run for her. She can definitely ride. She's got a massive future, and she's obviously got a great work ethic as well.
Yeah, exactly. And she spells it out so well there with slow pace. I know that we can't go over the top with slow pace, but if we take a form line through that Anzac Day race with Life Less Ordinary and the winner from yesterday, it does give slow pace another big chance today, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'll leave him to you. He's not one of mine. I can't catch him.
No, I'm not giving it a massive push, but at least form around it.
Exactly right. No, yeah. I'm sure some people will make a case for him.
Yep. Just looking at these early scratchings, Ron, there's one extra that I've seen on the way through. That's El Cid, race 6, number 17. El Cid has just come out, and that's the extra. Looking at Adelaide and also at the Gold Coast, nothing has come out of those significant races at both places. So keeping an eye on the scratchings, El Cid just come out. It was a big odds there in race number 6. Now, I'll just check who our next guest is online. And it's coming from the Bjorn Baker stable. Duff, everyone, as I say, is in Kentucky, apart from the real workers. Bjorn Baker's there, Chris Waller's there, Greg Radley's there, but Jack Bruce from the Bjorn Baker stable is right with us on HQ Saturday. Morning to you, Jack.
Good morning, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
No, great to have you on radio and TV this morning for the first time. Mate, what's the boss doing up there? Is he just holidaying, or was he trying to get American horses to come down under?
Well, I think it's a bit of a working holiday for Bjorn, although I'd say he could be on the dance floor somewhere in Louisville as we speak.
Well, he didn't want to come on this morning, so with the time factor, that could be right, mate.
Yeah, it could be spot on, yeah.
Surprised he's not at the White House having a meeting with the big boy over there. So,
who, Malcolm Turnbull?
No, yeah, and Trumpy, you know.
Ron, just before you go on, Jack, can you, we see you on the TV being interviewed regularly when Bjorn's not there. Tell us your background, Jack.
I'm a Kiwi born and bred, and I did a bit of travelling in the last couple of years, and sort of 3 years ago I really wanted to settle in Sydney, and I gave Bjorn a call, and the rest is history. But I'm originally a farmer in New Zealand, and it's only sort of recently I started working in racing stables with Mike Decock in Dubai, and that was where it all started from. But then I came to Bjorn Baker's, and he's been a huge help, and away I go.
How did you get to Mike Decock?
I did the Daly Flying Start program, or the Godolphin Flying Start program, as it's now known. And they introduced me to him, and then I spent probably 6 or 7 months of that course with him and his assistants in various places around the world, England and Dubai. Yeah, he is the very best, I tell you.
It is a well-named thing, the Daly Flying Start or the Godolphin Flying Start. There's some great stories come out of that, hasn't there?
Yeah, look, it's a huge opportunity, and it is Sheikh Mohammed's his best legacy for the racing world. It's a charity, and it's the things you get to do and see and the university education and practical experience, it's really unreal, and it certainly helps me along as it has sort of 100 other people that have graduated.
Yeah. These runners today, you've got Summer Doubt resuming in race 4. He did a good job last preparation. How's he returned?
He did. It's probably, he came of age last prep, I think. He really showed us a bit of early ability, and this prep he's come up well, although I think he'll probably need the run first up. A lot of his form last prep was second and third up, so he's a bit fat today, but he'll run a good race and he'll improve off it for sure.
Okay, move along to race 6. I found this horse quite interesting at massive odds, Colonel Cluster. You resumed him last prep with no trial, and he's had a couple of trials this preparation, and he resumes at 1,500.
Yeah, he's had some strong trials. He's a big, thick bull, and we try and give him a lot of work, and he definitely thrives off that. So He's another one I'd love to see him get a run under his belt, but 2,000 metres or those Canterbury 1900s are his trip, and that's definitely where Vian's heading with him, okay, sort of later in the prep.
Fair enough. And the last, she looks strong, Bonnie O'Reilly, she looks ready to go first up and should be in the finish?
Yeah, she is. She's come back much better this prep than last prep. Bjorn still left a good bit in the tank with her, with Queensland in mind. But having said that, we'd like to see her run well first up if we're going to push on to those bigger races.
You've also got Rowenda there, Honest Mare, usually good fresh.
Yeah, she's good fresh. Blinkers stay on first up, and she deserves the Saturday race. If any of our horses do, she's a real trier, and she'll be hitting the line hard late.
Okay,
Bonnie's just got the perfect barrier there first up today.
Yeah, she does. Well, last prep we were at Canterbury jumping from wide gates, it was a bit of a disaster, but Tim Clark should be able to put her wherever he sees fit, and if she can get a bit of a smother and she's produced, she's got a real sharp turn of foot, and that's what we're working on.
What's the news in Adelaide? Egyptian Symbol, she arrived well?
Yeah, she has. Look, she's doing really well since she's been down there. She went to Melbourne first and then came across on Thursday, and she had a light canter this morning, and I've spoken to our head girl down there, and she's really, really happy with her. So, look, if we can ride her with a sit today, I think, well, we're hoping she'll run the race of her life.
It's interesting. We're just talking on air, Jack, a little while ago, just how strong this race is. It probably surprised many trainers that were aiming there just how strong it has become.
Yeah, it did. I mean, we're a little bit gutted to see some of those big names in that race. Bjorn's had this UBET Classic picked out for a long time with her to run first up. So as the sort of Sydney Carnival developed and the news was out that these horses were heading there, we're a bit gutted. But look, if they're going to win a Group 1 at the top level, they've got to beat the top horses. And we've always thought she can, so she gets her chance today.
Good luck, mate. A great opportunity. I know you're going to Adelaide for the big Group 1. It's a great meeting, this one, with a couple of big Group 1s. Hope you enjoy it down there.
Yeah, thanks very much, Andrew. Cheers.
Thanks, Jack. Jack Bruce joining us there, stable foreman for Bjorn Baker. Ron Pate has officially come out now, race 8, number 2. And Pirate Ben has come out of race 6. So in race 6 now, we've got 3 Pirate Ben and 17 El Cid. There are 2 scratchings in that race. And as I say, Pate's now officially out, Ron, which we'd been speculating on. And Joe confirmed it in that race. Jason Coyle had been weighing up with Sweet Serendipity. Duff, it's obviously three minutes to scratching time, but they may run here, Sweet Serendipity.
Yeah, look, it doesn't worry me. With fast horses like that, I prefer him drawn out wide. So he's a fast horse, so I wouldn't have too many issues with him drawn out wide. He'll just scamper across. What does hurt me is Pirate's Ben scratching, because he was the horse that was going to push Dream Force into a position here. He looked the speed in that race. So we've probably lost a go-forward horse in race 6.
Okay. And we should mention, too, Mitch Bell with Happy Hannah. Ron, permission to ride a kilo over?
Yeah, that was done earlier in the week with acceptances, so just bear in mind doing your form if you're a weights and measures person. 54, not 53.
Just before I go to a break, I every time you mention that, I want to ask you, how heavily do you play the weights, Ron? When you do the form, how heavy on the weights?
I'll have a look at them. It's a piece of the jigsaw puzzle, as I keep saying. Every bit of form is a little piece. How big a piece you want to make that is up to you. But I don't think dropping in weight is going to help an out-of-form horse find form. And I think the longer the distance, probably the more emphasis that I'd put in it as well.
Yep, understand. Everyone's got their different makeups.
Of course,
and
of course.
Yeah. What proves successful for you, really, isn't it?
Exactly. What works for you, or what you perceive works for you.
Ron, we had, remember that terrible morning we were at the track at Randwick, and we learned about, it was Toowoomba Cup Day with the Weepwood, we learned about a terrible accident there at track work, and they're now raising money. They're having a special function, the Toowoomba Club. They've got a big money raiser next Saturday night at Clifford Park, the Racing Reaches Out fundraiser. There's more detail available on the website at the Toowoomba Race Club at Clifford Park, but the racing industry has come together here. Generous donations from Newgate Farm with Sizzling, Lynhurst Stud with Hidden Dragon, Arrowfield stud with Panzer Division, Eureka stud with Spirit of Boom, and Marisari from Wattlebrae stud in Queensland. They've donated services there, but so many other people have got behind this, Ron, and we need to help these guys who are now paraplegics, and the racing community are really coming together to help Ben and Wade's family. So I urge you, you can do online auctions. There's online auctions. You don't have to be necessarily there on the night, but you can certainly go to the website, go to the Toowoomba website. They'll give you further details. If you want to go to the night, it's $75 per ticket, but the racing community coming together, and you can contact the club there on 07 4634 6066 and get some more detail. If you want to maybe even donate, if a racing participant wants to donate something, 07 4634 6066. But the website has been set up, and as I say, there's online donations, and we need to support Wade and Ben, the pair in a track work accident, now both paraplegics and lying beside each other in hospital, and our thoughts are certainly with everyone up there. The Racing Reaches Out fundraiser at Clifford Park Toowoomba on next Saturday night, May 13. We'll take a break on Racing HQ, back with more interviews, and in this half an hour we're talking with Henry Plumtree from Godolphin.
Window shopping takes on a whole new meaning at Wideline.
Take a closer look at Wideline's showstopper of a showroom at Ricebury.
That's where you'll find an extensive range of residential, architectural and commercial aluminium windows and doors.
And you can't look past their timber windows and doors either.
Customer parking and a dedicated kids room make for hassle-free window shopping at Wideline.
Now open at 593 Botany Road, Ricebury.
Only 700 metres from Green Square Station.
Wideline.
If you love a bet, then we bet you'll love a $185,000 projected Big Six pool at Rosehill Gardens today. And an $85,000 projected First Four pool on the Ladies Bracelet at Wentworth Park tonight. And now you can prepare for the punt, watch racing live and relive the action with the TAB app. Download the TAB app or visit tab.com.au. TAB, we love a bet. Terms and conditions apply. See tab.com.au for details. Gamble responsibly.
Your business needs a cash injection to grow, but the banks say no.
You need it nice and simple, and they still say no.
You don't want to hand over the deed to your house, so they keep saying no.
Turn the no's around and get on with it with OnDeck. Apply online in 10 minutes with just 3 bank statements, not a mountain of paperwork, and you're on your way with the cash flow you need. Visit ondeck.com.au.
OnDeck, the small business loan specialist. Loan subject to lender approval. OnDeck partners with MYOB.
Dynamic Syndications, Gay and Adrian offer the opportunity to own and race the half-brother to champion 3-year-old Whoby Got You. Our colt is by sensational sire Fastnet Rock from Temple of Peace, a stakes place winner of 3 races. Whoby Got You was a dual Group 1 winner of 10 races, including the Alumba Stakes, Caulfield Guineas, and won over $3.25 million. Join the Dynamic Gay and Adrian team to race the Fastnet Rock half to Whoby Got You. Visit dynamicsyndications.com or call 1-800-619-999. AFSL 3360.
Racing HQ is brought to you by TAB. Bet you love a $185,000 projected Big Six pool at Rosehill Gardens today. See tab.com.au for details. Gamble responsibly.
Okay, the scratchings have just become interim for the program at Rosehill. We're returning there for the first time in 6 weeks. A good four. Penetrometer 4.68 and the rails true. Fine and sunny day to get to Rosehill, 25 degrees, a lot different than the last time we were there 6 weeks ago. These are the scratchings. As I say, they've gone interim. Race one, number one, Silence, 3, Dahad, 4, Dissolution, 7, Lord Cecil, 11, Smart 80, and 15, She Knows. 1, 3, 4, 7, 11, and 15. Race two, number seven, Superoo, number seven. The third, number one, Invincibella, 5, Tumultuous, 11, Blanco Cara, and 15, McPhee Lass. 1, 5, 11, and 15 out of race 3. Race 4, number 1, Zumbalina, 2, I Thought So, 7, Military Machine, at 11, Pound Sterling. 1, 2, 7, and 11. Race 5 at Rosehill, take out 1, Savaro, number 1. Race 6, 3 Pirate Ben and 17 El Cid have both come out this morning out of race 6. Take out 3 and 17. Race 7, number 1 Pornichet and 2 Sons of John, 1 and 2. in race 8, the second last. Take out 2 Paint, 4 Lord Von Costa, 6 Girl Sunday, who's running at the Gold Coast, and 7 Canny Essen, who runs earlier in the day. Race 8, take out 2, 4, 6 and 7. And race 9, the last, number 5, Relito, and 17, Zoo Magic. That's 5 and 17. So they're the scratchings. They go interim. Ron, we had a few, obviously, before we got to this morning, but okay this morning, I reckon.
Yeah.
Apart from probably, as you say, Pirate Ben.
Yeah, no issues there. There seems a lot of scratchings, but they were full fields. It's really hasn't affected the way I'm thinking of the meeting. It's just taken probably a little bit of the price out with percentages, with the numbers of scratchings, that's all.
Understand. Ron, that first race, we spoke with Tony Brazel earlier this morning. He's picked out a couple of trialers for Godolphin, the 6 and the 12, Leo Gang and Viridine. Without giving your tips away, mate, how do you see these debuters in the first?
No, I agree. They're big queries, these first starters. The two Godolphin horses, and also the Hossamore horse, Andrew, Poetic Charmer, who's looked pretty good at the trials. He was the first horse backed on Wednesday. They went up $21. He was banging to 9. So just a little bit of a correction there. But I think the two of Godolphin's first starters both look to have unlimited potential, but they're horses we're going to look at in the yard and get a feel for them in that last 15 minutes of betting as well. But maybe we could, Henry, I'd like to touch that with Henry with those two-year-olds at least.
We might try for Henry. I know it's a bit earlier than what we planned. Charlie Duckworth is about 3 or 4 minutes away from joining us, so we might try Henry and just see whether we can jag him earlier and obviously chat about the issue. It's been a lot of speculation, Ron, a lot of discussion this week about Godolphin, but they made that announcement late last night or early evening that Darren Biedman is their interim trainer, and we wait to see on further news, which we'll discuss. But at least, I guess, for Godolphin, we know what the short-term future is.
Yes, the bookies get a lot of gain, and James Cummings was into odds on there. They got a payout on Darren Biedman now. Didn't even have a license when they put the market up. So look, it's an interesting direction where they're heading. It'd be interesting to have a chat with Henry. I'm looking forward to that.
Well, Henry is online. We appreciate him taking our call just a few minutes earlier than planned. The Godolphin Australia boss. Morning to you, Henry.
Andrew, how are you? All right?
I'm very...
You're lucky that my butler just bought my tea at 7.30.
You're like Duff. He loves eating breakfast at 7.53 on a Saturday.
What's your butler called, Duff?
There is... She works hard. She works hard.
Cheryl.
No.
Butler. Hey, Henry, it's obviously been a pretty tough couple of weeks, or a week since last Saturday when we learnt of the situation with John O'Shea. Late yesterday afternoon, it was announced that you've put Darren Biedman in. Will you explain, is it an interim position?
Yeah, it is an interim position, Andrew. Darren and I had a discussion about it during the week, and I said to him, would you like to step up and take the reins? I said, obviously, it's going to be quite a challenging role, and he's stepped up and he's relished the task. He's been fantastic the last few days. But I think the most important thing about us, Andrew, is that we inherited a fantastic racing system from the Inghams when we bought Woodlands, and that system is still running today. Peter Snowden put his stamp on it, John O'Shea put his stamp on it, but that system is still what makes us successful. It's the people, the horses, the infrastructure that Sheikh Mohammed's allowed us to build. That's what makes us successful.
Henry, Darren Biedman, how long will he have to step up to the Mark IV before you make a decision on a replacement?
Look, he'll be the person that we talk to most about who's going to come in and be the head trainer. Melbourne Radio suggested to me that we might have an internal appointment for the next one, and it's not a question of looking internally at the moment. We will pick the best person for the job. Obviously, with Sheikh Mohammed, if we could promote someone from within the next 3 to 5 years, that would be a fantastic result. And that's why his relationship with Charlie Appleby is so good, because Charlie came through the ranks at Godolphin as a stable lad. but we have to run a commercial business here. We're running a racing operation, and we have to put the best person in place for that job that fits not just only training the horses, but fits the people and the culture and everything else.
Do you think it's hard for Darren Beeman? Like he's got to have a taste of the big job, and then all of a sudden he's got to take a back seat again. Do you think that's fair?
Look, I think that would only be the case. He would only be taking a back seat if he wasn't capable of doing the job. We took Darren Beeman on because of the intellectual property that he has in his head. Darren's probably worked for some of the greatest trainers across the globe. He's worked for Bart Cummings. He's worked for John Moore. He's worked for John Hawkes. He's just a very, very accomplished horseman. Before he was a jockey, he was a very accomplished rider. And I think what we have to do with Darren over the next few months is to unlock that intellectual property that he has in his head. I have absolutely no doubt that he will be able to step up and train these horses. And if it takes us 2 months to find a replacement, he'll be able to do it. If he's still in place when we kick off the spring carnival again, I've got every confidence that he and his team will be able to turn those horses out as competitive as ever.
So, Henry, is there a chance that Darren Beeman could, in fact, if he showed to you in the whatever period, the next 2 to 3 months, if he showed to you that he loved the role and could fulfil the role, is there a chance that he, in fact, could be the full-time trainer in the future?
No, not at the moment, Andrew. We've had that conversation. We both agreed that he's not ready for that yet. And Darren's very pragmatic about that sort of thing. He said to me yesterday, I don't feel I'm ready for that sort of role at the moment. Maybe in 3 or 4 years' time, he might be. But what he needs to do in the next 2 to 3 months, we've been very transparent about it with each other. I'll be looking for someone. He'll be consulted on who that person is. And hopefully, and I've got no doubt it will happen because he formed a brilliant relationship with John O'Shea, he will form a relationship with a new person, and he will be a massive help to it.
If you listen to the rumours and read some of the press, you've already have some names on the dotted line.
Yeah, I know. It's interesting. There's a trainer from Tasmania. There's one from Perth. There's two from Hong Kong. A couple of locals. Your name didn't pop up, unfortunately.
Well, just put it on the list anyway. You know, I'm a big blue man.
Listen. I'm not about collecting old jockeys.
I mean, this time yesterday, it was our belief that James Cummings was going to be announced yesterday. I mean, have you spoken to James at all?
I speak to James a lot because James is the...
Well, about this role.
No, we haven't talked to anybody about it. Well, I mean, if I had been talking to someone about it, Andrew, I can promise you, we wouldn't be going through this process of electing Beeman as a trainer and then going on to someone else. I mean, the point is that Beeman's in place to give us some breathing space to make the right decision.
Other rumours, Henry, are Godolphin scaling down their Australian operations?
But that's not a rumour. We've actually said that for a long time, that we want to cut our broodmare numbers back to 150 quality mares that can actually produce horses that can run on a Saturday afternoon as a minimum benchmark for them. Whilst it's great for us to have runners in the bush at Wyong, Gosford and Kembla Grange, it doesn't really float our boat commercially. And what we're doing is that we're turning over a massive amount of horses just to send them sales. Now, other people benefit from those horses, which is fantastic, but every racehorse in our stable costs about $75,000 a year to train, and the slow ones don't cost any less than the fast ones. So that's what we're doing. We're basically tightening up. So we won't have 420 horses in the system in a year's time. We'll probably have about 330, 340.
Could there be a... Is there one head trainer, or could there be a trainer in each state?
I don't like that model, Duff. I think it sort of breeds unnecessary competition. And I look at people like John Hawkes. I look at people like Gay Waterhouse, Chris Waller. They successfully run satellite yards in Melbourne. It's no problem in doing that. And people say your Melbourne yard's been disappointing. Melbourne has not been disappointing. Mm. Last year, we had earned just under $5 million. Probably... With the absence of Winx, we might have won Cox Plate, but we ran second in it. We ran third in the Melbourne Cup. that yard performs very well. Is it the poor relation to Sydney? No, it's not. But numerically, it will always have less horses because we've got less boxes down there.
Okay. And a stable jockey. Godolphin has always had a stable jockey. Is that another issue, or are you happy to just feed the top jockeys along at the top line?
Look, it's you know, we like to keep Sheikh Mohammed likes to put on the jockeys that he has on retainer, and James Doyle has done a fantastic job for us while James McDonald has been suspended. And as you know, we get amazing support from the Sydney cohort. We've had amazing support from Brenton McDullough, Corey Brown, a number of jockeys, Timmy Clark. They've all stepped up and helped us out from time to time. Ideally, when you're training homebreds, it's better to have a stable jockey, Ron, and then get that jockey educated on those babies, get them educated on the two-year-olds, so that when we go to the races, the jockey knows exactly how those horses are going to go. How that works in the next year, I'm not sure. We know that James is coming back to the end of the year, and he'll probably stay to the end of the autumn carnival next year. But, you know, I'm not sure what's going to happen next year, but that's a year away.
Understand. Yeah. I've just got two before Ron talks about today. Obviously, John O'Shea has worked through, I think, 3 years of a five-year contract, if again, what we read is right. You're not here to talk for John, but obviously he's made a decision in recent times that he just, for whatever reason, he wanted to walk away from that role, Henry.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a reason that you can give us for John's departure?
No, I don't think so. I mean, John and I, there's a suggestion that John and I had a fallout, that the relationship fell apart. My view on that is the same as I've just said to Melbourne. Chief executives that run sporting companies and their head coach, if they don't have a robust relationship, they're generally not that successful. That's a pretty blunt statement, but it's pretty true. You look at chief executives who run football clubs, relationship with the head coach can often be, politely put, robust. And John and I had that sort of relationship. But I've known him for 20 years, Andrew, so
yeah.
We were good friends before. We will be good friends afterwards. And I think probably the pressure that he placed upon himself probably ended up making a decision for him that he wanted to spend. He's got a great family, as you probably know. He's got four
yep.
kids,
yep.
beautiful kids, and they're all at school age now. Our job is a relentless job, and although we don't place pressure on our training team at all, Sheikh Mohammed doesn't place pressure on his trainers. It's the nature of the beast with a top racehorse trainer that they place pressure on themselves. So John was a seven-day-a-week man, out of bed at 3:30 in the morning and driving himself. And 3 years doesn't sound a long time, but it's a bloody long time when you're training that number of horses.
Yeah.
So is there a use-by date in the job?
I think that really depends how much pressure the individual places upon themselves, Ron. I mean, the use-by date for maybe if you put a bloke like Guy Walker in charge of our horses, he might have gone on forever, you know.
Mm.
But it's
handling stress.
Mm.
Yeah, well, yeah, stress and, you know, Trevor Robson, I bet, always says, no wonder racehorse trainers are grumpy, he said, because they're constantly sleep-deprived and we're always giving them bad news.
Mm. Yeah, no, I understand. And just one final one, Ron.
Yep.
Henry Plumtree, you've been in this role for a while as well. Are you committed? Obviously, it is a stressful job for a trainer, but what about you, Henry?
Have I got less hair than I had last year?
I haven't counted them recently.
Listen, all of us at Godolphin, me included, we are incredibly privileged to work for a man like Sheikh Mohammed. And I really believe it when I say that Australia is incredibly lucky to have him as a massive owner in Australia. And he's very engaged down here. The fact that he gives us that leave to run a company, breeding and training racehorses down here, being part of the community that we are, Warwick Farm, up in the Hunter, down in Victoria, that it gives us a sense of presence and place in a great country for racing, we're very lucky people, Andrew. Yeah, there's pressure, but you know, at the end of the day, I'm surrounded by great people, and every morning I get out of bed, it's fun. It's a great, it's a great place to be.
I'm not going to press on all your horses today. I just want to ask you about these two-year-olds in the first, Leo Gang, Viridine, and Siam. Any opinion? Obviously, they're trialling well, the two first starters.
Yeah, I mean, the boys like Viridine a lot. He's a poet's voice. He's a half-brother to a little mare we had called Copper, who was a good little city-class mare. He's done nothing wrong. He's pretty bomb-proof. I think they think he'll go very well. Leo Gang's got a huge pedigree. He's out of a mare called Downhill Racer. I think they think he's probably got more ability than the other two, but I see Darren's comment this morning, he's a slow learner. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it might all get to him at the races today, but he's got untapped ability. They really like the horse that we've got at the Gold Coast today, Regent, who's by long now had a Wild Queen. He's a beautiful colt, and hopefully he'll be able to step up for us there. Siam's been knocking on the door. I'd just like to see him win a race, Duff. Do you know what I mean? He's a horse for me that just needs to win a race now to tell me that he's okay to go on with next year.
And one more, that Torpenhow. He showed so much early. He's just a little bit off the boil. He's had a long spell. What's the report on him?
Look, he's built like a Mack truck, Duff. He carries a lot of weight. He hasn't got the best of front legs, so he's had a few structural issues throughout his career. I've seen him work at Osborne this week, and he's going really well. His work's been fantastic. You'll see him in the yard today. He's a massive, big horse. Is he a run short today? I don't know. The boys wouldn't be sending him to races if they didn't think he'd be competitive, and his work's been good. But as I said, always when a horse has had as many problems as he's had, a note of caution.
All right, well, you better get to the office. All the interview processes won't be far off, I wouldn't think.
Well, I'm waiting for your name to pop up on the list.
I'll send the email through now.
There's been a lot of speculation in the marketplace, but you've helped us a great deal this morning, Henry. Thanks for your time, mate.
All right, Andrew. All the best.
Thank you. Henry Plumtree there, the Godolphin Australia boss, taking us through the process. So probably off that, Ron. Darren's in there. He'll do a great job of it with his whole team. I think that was the one thing that I took from the very top of that interview, Ron, that they're very much reliant on the whole team, that they know exactly what their job is and they do their best in preparing the horses for the races.
Yep. The show goes on, doesn't it? So we'll just leave it to them. Darren Biebman's the man for the moment, and we'll wait for further instructions by the sound of it. But it does look like they're going to employ one trainer, not two, which was a bit of a rumour going around.
Yep. Charlie Duckworth from the Chris Wallace stable joins us here right now. And we're used to seeing Chris Waller run around Rose Hill. Well, of late, it's been Charlie Duckworth.
Really?
Morning, Charlie.
Good morning.
And
taking up the reins.
You're preparing for a half marathon.
Yeah, half Ironman tomorrow morning.
Jeez, get a second opinion there. That's a long way, isn't it?
Hey, it's a bit. No, he's not running the
2 kilometre swim and a 90 kilometre bike and then 21 kilometre run. So
crikey. Have you done it before?
I'll have a beer at lunchtime anyway.
Have you done it before?
No, never done it before. I'm doing it for a great charity that a friend of mine is connected with.
What's the charity?
It's the Hope Foundation. They sponsor will basically enable slum children in Kolkata, India, to basically just give them an opportunity and some education and training as well as medical attention. It's a really great cause, and obviously the great thing is with sponsoring, I know a lot of people don't like sponsoring charities outside of the country they live in, so charity starts at home and all of that sort of thing, but the beauty is you give $20 and $20 makes a difference in India, whereas $20 here is, well, doesn't get you very far.
No, exactly. Good on you.
Yeah,
thank you.
Just quickly here, Madame Moustache, happy with her?
Yeah, really happy with her. Obviously, a few scratchings. She's coming to barrier four. We think she probably is just looking for slightly further this prep. So I think this is a good starting point, and we'll probably just get a good line on her as to whether we're right in saying that she wants 1400 or a mile in time. So now her trials have been good enough, and she's fit and ready to race.
Four in race three, Black on Gold, Oklahoma Girl, Octavian Augustus, Cross Stitch. What's your thinking here, the leading?
Well, obviously Black on Gold was incredibly unlucky last start. I think he's obviously a progressive force. 1800 is still short of his best. I mean, it was very impressive to win over 1400 first up in a weaker grade. So he's looking for the 2000 now, but he's certainly a force to be reckoned with. He's got a good barrier, so hopefully he can just posse up in the midfield and not have too much to do. Oklahoma Girl, obviously, she's pretty self-explanatory. She's won really nicely in her last two starts. She's not an overly strong filly, but she's got a massive stride, and that certainly makes up for it. So obviously both of those two are looking at heading up to Queensland after today's race and onto bigger targets. And Octavian Augustus stepping up to the 1800. He's certainly better than the form he showed. I think he's in the past he's lacked a willingness to complete his task. But so the blinkers stay on 1800. He should just be able to cruise around and conserve energy before attacking the line late. And finally, sorry, Krustich. Obviously, 53 kilos is a lovely lightweight, and taking another 2 kilos off would inform Rachel King. You can't really knock her riding ability, so she'll go round with 51 kilos on the back. She won't know herself, but she certainly needs to lift to beat the best of these.
Race 4 is an interesting run, a new universe. He looks talented.
Yeah, very talented. He's a lovely horse. He's had a jump out in trial. He's fit and ready to go. He just needs to do things right. He had a tendency to over-race and do things a little bit upside down. Since he's been in Australia for us, he seems to be coping just fine, and I think that he can run a very competitive race today.
Race 6, Shandana, the blinkers and the dry certainly switched her back on the other day.
Yeah, wow, wasn't she impressive? I actually came back in, and he said the hardest part about the ride was pulling her up, so that's obviously a positive. I think realistically she should be able to get a lovely run and be hard to beat again. Obviously the big weight is a minor concern, but she's certainly flying.
Yeah, she looks probably the pick ahead of the Napoli and Pianissimo and our Beak Nick there.
Yeah, I would have thought so.
Yeah,
obviously the barrier 14 is a slight concern, but it's not a lot you can do.
Couple of long shots in the Lord Mayor's Cup. Beyond Thankful backs up from last week, and Soviet Courage probably needs racing, but he loves that Rose Hill.
He does love Rose Hill, and he's a horse who's used to predominantly carrying this sort of 60 kilos and 61 kilos, so 53 kilos. He should be able to enjoy having no weight on his back and travel around kindly for Adrian, who rides a bit of track work for us, so it's good to see him getting a ride for us today in town, and we're more than happy to support him if he's supporting us during the week. And Beyond Thankful, on the quick backup, he's looking for a little bit further, so there's the Mackell Cup in 3 weeks over 2400 metres, which is where he'll be cherry ripe for.
Okay. You finish within Times of War. She hasn't done too much wrong throughout that short career. Back in distance might be okay for her today.
Yeah, absolutely fine. She just, we tried to ride her, well, we were hoping to ride her with a bit of a sit last start, but she just flew the barriers and so had no choice but to lead. And obviously today we know how well she jumps, so we'll try and counter that and get her some cover, relax. But her whole career is, well, she could have very nearly been unbeaten to this stage. So she's obviously a very progressive filly, and we've got high hopes for her, despite being against the older mares.
Everything okay with the Oaks? Egg Tart, she's been dominant of late. Is she coping okay?
Yeah, went travelled down there absolutely with no problems at all. She's just an absolute pleasure. She's very straightforward. Obviously, it looks like Darren Weir has the horse to beat, but that's on its, I think it's 9th or 10th start.